Okay. Therefore, brethren, now he's talking to us again. We, who the brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh. Well, what does he mean? We're not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Okay, basically what he's telling us is we're not slaves to sin anymore. We're not sold under sin. We're not under its power. So we don't owe the old nature anything. He was simply implying under the old, Paul said we were sold under sin. You know, we were under its power to influence us. Who shall deliver me from this body of sin, O wretched man that I am? And now he's saying that you're in Christ now. You're not slaves of sin anymore. So basically, quickly, he goes back to 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? For you are not under its power or its law anymore, but you're under the law of grace. So he's saying what? You don't owe the old nature anything. You don't owe the devil anything, and you don't have to listen to it. And you don't have to obey the lower nature when it raises its head. You don't have to. So that's simply what he means. For if you live, now notice again he uses the continuous tense, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. So he's saying if you go back to that system, you start obeying the sinful natures trying to entice you and the devil and so forth. He says, and there's a consequence, to this. Why? For the wages of sin is death. So if you put yourself back under that, there's a consequence to this. Now notice there's a key here. But if by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ who dwells in us, if by the Spirit you put to deed the actions, put to death the actions of the body, you will live. What body? The body of sin that Christ has broken the power over. But he's telling us what? He just broke the power. He didn't annihilate it. Jesus said that Satan was judge when he went to the cross. Remember in the garden? He says, now is the prince of this world judge. Well, he's still around, isn't he? And he still has a great deal of power, but he meant, I have broken his legal power over you. So when he says that the old man is dead, it simply means his power has been broken. It don't mean he's been annihilated. Everybody in this room knows this week that old sinful nature is waiting for you. He waits for you every morning. That's why we're told to take up the cross daily. We have to consign him to death when he tries. But we recognize he has an ability. But he's saying, but you don't have to give in. You don't have to obey him anymore. But didn't say he ain't going to try. He surely tries. Okay? So he says, if by the Spirit you put to death. What Spirit? The Spirit of Christ in you who was judged for this power and broke this power and judged the prince of the world, Satan's power over you. He's saying, you can do that. You can keep him dead and you can put it under. Okay? How? One way is, look at verse 11 of chapter 6. Likewise, you also count yourselves to be dead to sin. Now notice he didn't say that sin has no power and sin doesn't exist. He says you count. It means by faith what? In what God has already told you he's done in you. Count yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then he tells us, present yourself to righteousness and not to sin. Saying what? The sin is still there if you allow it to rule. But he's saying it can't make itself influence you unless you do it. See, unless you yield to the temptation, unless you make provision, it has no power. But you can surely give it power. And that's what he's talking about. And many people do. And they end up in that category of dying again. You know, they need to come back to God. They've forsaken the way. They've been lured back to the world. They've gone back to Egypt. And the same consequence will come on them. The judgment of the law against them. Okay. So what is he saying? He's saying then, if you by the Spirit. Now notice the difference in the law. Under the law of Moses, the law could not give you one iota of power to put it down, could it? It simply told you what was right and wrong. But the law of the Spirit of life gives you the ability to say what? Where sin abounds, it doesn't matter how it comes at you, grace does more abound. No, I will not obey you, and I don't have to obey you. and I owe you nothing, and you have no hold over me but whatever I give you. You can't rule unless I allow you to. See? Same thing. Then we're going to see in the later chapters, he's going to say, you know, and he's going to confirm what Jesus said, no man will pluck you out of my hand. That's true if you're in Christ. But you can walk out, and you can forsake him. And the scripture said he could. He said, if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Jude says what? He is able to keep you from falling. But you have to read the condition. He said, keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, how do you do that? You obey him. He ain't going to keep you from falling if you don't obey him and you don't walk in the Spirit and you don't walk in obedience. He ain't going to give you no bit of power whatsoever. See, so he's showing us that you have the ability to choose. And that sin's power has been broken, but you have to count it so and act. That's why we're given the armor. We didn't have the armor under the old. We're given the armor under the new. And why? Because the devil, the flesh, and the world still come after us. They still come after us. But we can say what? But you can't win unless I consent. That's why I say if you fall and you sin, you don't blame the devil, you blame yourself. You have nobody to blame but yourself. You weren't prepared or you yielded to temptation. And in both cases, you didn't obey Scripture. And you didn't obey the Spirit's leading. Okay? So let's go on. So if you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body of sin that lures you, the old nature that tries to raise its head, you will live. So you have to walk in the Spirit. Okay. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. So what is he telling you? Only those who are led of the Spirit are true Christians. What does it mean to be led of the Spirit? It means to come under his lordship. What does it mean to come under his lordship? It means you obey his words. You trust and obey him. They didn't like the lying gospel you're hearing now. See, many people are saved, they say. Jesus is my Savior, but he's not my Lord. They're just excusing their sins, and Jesus says they're lost. They've been deceived. You can read all of the New Testament. You're going to find about 16 times to 20 that the Lord speaks of Jesus being the Savior to the believer. But you're going to have over 400 times he talks about lordship. You better get back to what Scripture says. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will. So we got many people saying, Lord, Lord, and go to church. The majority of professing Christians are on their way to hell, but they mentally believe that Jesus died on the cross. The devils believe it and tremble. They know he did. It curtailed their power. So see, this mental assent saves no one. Mental belief. No, you must practice it. That's why Jesus said, have you heard my words? And the disciples said, yeah. He said, well, then blessed are you if you do it. And then he talked about if you don't do it, your house is going to be destroyed. You're not building on a rock. So it's not hearing the truth. It's doing the truth. So many people are saying, Lord, Lord, and they're going to end up in hell. Multitudes. And they believe Jesus is the Son of God. It ain't going to change one thing. But they were not led of the Spirit. They led their own selfish lives, and they thought they had fire insurance, and they thought they had greasy grace and a license to sin, and when they're in hell forever, that's why they're going to weep and gnash their teeth when they see how stupid they were and how deceived they were, and there ain't no hope for them. And in hell, they're going to be saying, Lord, Lord, but he ain't going to be listening. That's the wrath of God. So see, again, we better get back to what Scripture says, and do not be gullible and believe all the false teachers and shepherds that are out there today. Get back to your Bible. All right. For as many as are led of the Spirit, it means he is the master. When you say Lord, it means you've come under his control. You can't run your life anymore. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. God doesn't save you to make you happy and carefree and bless you. That is nothing compared to what Scripture says. He saved you for himself to conform you to Christ. And Christ was not self-seeking and selfish. And he ain't going to condone that in anybody. See, we need to get back to what does Scripture say? Scripture only has one solution for the self-seeking, death. We have nothing else. He doesn't answer selfish prayers. The prayers of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. It means he detests them. And you got people praying in Jesus' name, and God is looking at them saying, I'm going to answer you according to your sins. You know, only time they come to God is when they want something, and they don't even know they're his enemies because they're so deceived. Because they've been lied to by false shepherds. Jesus loves you unconditionally. Scripture don't teach that. It's all grace and you don't have to do nothing. Scripture doesn't teach this. It teaches you grace works and grace changes. See, a lot of these common Christian sayings are lies. You're not going to find it in Scripture. You know? You wonder where they come from. They come from lying shepherds who are trying to get money out of their flock and make their flock happy so they'll get numbers and get more money. That's why. The true gospel is offensive. It always offends the old woman and the old man and the old nature. Never condones it. It's false shepherds that condone, pacify, but they tell you a lie. Okay, so he's telling us true Christians are led by the Lord. That means what? A lifestyle. It doesn't mean they came to the Lord 20 years ago. That ain't what that means. It means today they follow the Lord, that he's their Lord today. You know, they don't go on vacation from God. They don't put their Christianity on hold when they're too busy. That's called the cares of this life that choke the word, and they become unfruitful, and then they go to hell. Those are people who've known the Lord. So see, who are the warnings to? Most of the warnings are for Christians not to go back, not to the sinner. It's for us to hold on and keep going on with the Lord. That's what the warnings are for and the encouragement. That's what true prophecy's for. Most of the prophets you hear today is nothing but silliness. Promising to bless their old man. God ain't going to do nothing but kill the old man. He ain't no blessings for the old man. See, they're lying shepherds. Okay. Okay, now he says what? If you're led, or as many as is led of the Spirit, these are the children of God. For you, who the believer, did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Okay, what is he saying here? If you're led of the Spirit, if Christ dwells in you, if you're under the law of grace, the Spirit of life working in you, and you're obeying righteousness, then you're living in faith and grace. And what is he saying then? He's saying then what? You don't have the spirit of bondage. Bondage and fear to what? The law. You were under the bondage of sin and death, and the law judged you and pronounced condemnation. And said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And he says, you're not under that if you're led of the Lord. That you can't fall back under that unless what? Unless you sin against God and proceed to go back in that direction. So he's saying what? You've not been given a spirit of a bondage or fear. Fear comes because you're not right with God. And if you're not right with God, you've sinned against God. You've done the same thing Adam and Eve did. As soon as they sinned, they were afraid of him. Their conscience told them, the inner law told them, you're wrong and you can't stand in God's presence. See, they instinctively knew that when they sinned. So he's telling the Christian, if you're following the Lord and you're walking in Christ, you don't have to fear the judgment of God's law against you. You know, you don't have to. See, that's why Jesus said when he was talking to the disciples and the people, he talked about, don't fear man. What is the most he can do to you? He can kill your body. He said, rather fear him, the Father. After he has killed the body, he can send your soul to hell. He said, that's who you ought to fear. And then immediately he says, my little children, fear not. For it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So see, he's saying the same thing. If you're led of the Lord, you don't have to fear God's judgment against you. But if you're back in the flesh and you've gone back to Egypt, then you have a lot to fear. You've forsaken the Lord, and he said, I'll forsake you. And he's given all the warnings. He'll judge and he'll punish, and if they don't listen, he'll cut them off. May not do it all in one day, but he's simply saying something's going to happen. That the person that walks in the flesh is not going to be getting God's grace. They're going to be getting something else. The law is going to come against them, and they can't be protected. Okay, so he's saying what? Not only were we not given the spirit of bondage again, so we have to fear the judgment of the law. Why? We're not under its condemnation if we walk in the Spirit. But you receive something else. What did you receive? You receive the spirit of adoption. Now, the fear of the law is to those, what? Who are under the power of sin and death, and they're God's enemies. He's talking to the sinner. So he's saying what? You were adopted. You know? When Christ entered you, he made you a part of his family. You became sons and daughters of God. He looks at you differently. He looks at you as if he's adopted you. So what has happened? From becoming a sinner, you became sons and daughters. From becoming enemies, you became a part of the family. So he says that's the spirit that he gives. Okay. Briefly, you can go over the back to Romans 5, verse 8 to 10. We'll just read it quickly. But God demonstrated his own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why? For God so loved the world. He didn't love their sins. They were under judgment. It meant he had goodwill, and he was gracious, and he wanted the sinner to turn. That was the love of God. That was the unmerited grace that God extended. He didn't have to. But notice what he said. How much more then, having been justified by his blood, we're not the sinners anymore, we're not his enemies, we shall be saved from wrath through him. He's not given us what? The spirit of bondage to fear what? His wrath and his judgment. For if we were enemies, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? What is the life? The life of Christ in us. This life, again, is what? The spirit that says, Father. We've entered into the proper kind of relationship. So what is he saying now? He's saying, now you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. No sinner has the right to address God as Father. Do you know that? Oh, everybody does it. Everybody stands up in every church and says the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven. And most of them ought to be saying, Our Father Satan who's in the sky. That's what they ought to be saying. The religious leaders that came to Jesus, they told him, you know, Our Father's Abraham. And you know what Jesus told them? He says, Your Father's Satan because you seek to kill me. He called religious priests. He said, their father, Satan. They didn't even know that the Spirit of Jehovah, that Christ was in the flesh, was God standing before them. You know? And see, today, many people saying, Our Father, they have no right to say that. They're not in covenant with him. They're still in their sins. They're still in rebellion. They've not submitted to his lordship. They're playing religion. They're saying, Lord, Lord. And he's saying, but you're not mine. You're not mine. Claiming things they have no right to claim because they're still his enemies. They've not repented. They've not changed. They're selfish, self-centered. They're running their own life, and they want God to rubber stamp it. And he's not going to do it. He's going to judge it. And part of his judgment is he lets them sit in churches every year believing they're going to heaven, and they're going to drop dead and go to hell. That's part of God's punishment. He deceives people. He turns them over to lying spirits because they keep rejecting the truth when they give opportunity. But they stand every week saying, Lord, Lord, and they sing all these wonderful songs. And God says he despises it. You know? Why? Because they don't submit to his lordship. They're just, I call them parasites. They just want something from God, and they don't realize they're his enemies. They don't have a right to ask nothing but what? Forgiveness. I have sinned, God. Change me. That's the only right they have. But every week, they go and they say this, you know, and they're being deceived. Verse 4, I want to go back to 4 for a minute. The righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's one scripture I want to go back to. We've been through it several times, but it's just worth reminding us. We were crucified with Christ. Look at Galatians. Keep going back there. That's the appropriate place to put that. I skipped it, so I wanted to come back to it. Galatians 2. Chapter 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, in the body, not the body of sin, in my mortal body he's talking about, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So going back to 4, the righteous requirements of God's law, when we were crucified with Christ. And as we walk in the Spirit, we're living by another life. We're living by chapter 7, verse 6. We have been delivered from the law of sin and death that we were held by, so that we should serve. Now, this is talking about those under grace. Talk about works. He believed in works. That we should work, serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. It meant what? It meant we've been given the ability to obey righteousness and do God's will. That's what the Spirit of grace does for us. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us. If we obey, if we allow Him to lead us, those who are led of the Spirit, these are the children of God. Okay, verse 16. And the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Okay, what spirit's bearing witness with our spirit? The Holy Spirit is bearing witness to the regenerated spirit, the new man. Now, it's interesting if you read this. So many people have so many problems. Notice it says He bears witness to. It means He confirms the truth to. He reveals the truth to what? To our spirit. Now, it's important you understand this. It doesn't say He reveals the truth to our moods, to our emotions, or to our feelings. This is people that never go nowhere. This is the double-minded. Their religion's nothing but, and all that silly stuff. One day they're up, the next day they're down. They're like the little song. When you're up, you're up, and when you're down, you're down. And when you're neither halfway up, you're neither up nor down. Well, James called it being double-minded and said you don't get nothing from God. One day they feel so close to God, the next, God has forsaken me. They'll never go nowhere with God. Because when the Spirit bears witness, they don't believe it. And when He does, they think He has to do it every 5 minutes. And every time they have a bad mood, come Jesus and wipe my sweet brow, grow up, and put the flesh under, and go live by faith. That's what He's talking about. And that's why many people can't do it. They love themselves too much. They're too preoccupied with the old nature. Self, self, self. Oh, I got to feel it. I got to feel it. People in voodooism feel good things on their way to hell. People in false religion shake and quake and speak in tongues just like Christians can, and they go to hell. Feelings have nothing to do with Christianity. It's the inner witness. The Spirit bears witness to what? Our spirit. It's an inner knowing. It's a peace. It's an assurance. But you don't get it if you're in sin. And you don't get it if you're in rebellion. And you don't get it if you ain't following the Lord. See, He don't bear witness to lies. He don't bear witness to selfishness. He can't do this. So again, what is He going to do? He's going to bear witness. How is He going to do it? In our spirit, in the inner man, the new man. He's not going to do it in the old man or the natural man. These have to do with moods and feelings. Moods and feelings come and go. You might have moods and feelings, but it ain't what you're based on. Many people, when they got married, they feel wonderful that day, didn't they? Unless it was a shotgun marriage. But they feel great. They feel excited. They're all exhausted. They can't think straight. They got all of these affections and moods, and everybody's happy and wonderful. And how many people have been married for more than 10 years? 20 years. Do you feel that way every minute of the day? If you did, you'd be crazy. You'd be mentally disturbed because it can't happen. And women who have children and they have this great joy come on them. Years later, sometimes they want to strangle their children because they drive them crazy. They still love them. They don't feel that wonderful. Sometimes they want to spank their little butts because they're driving them. See, you don't live that way. See, people that live on feelings end up going crazy and end up in mental institutions. They never can go anywhere. Because God has never said He was going to do anything that way. You know what these poor, pathetic people are looking for? They're looking for the state of heaven that we haven't arrived to yet, when all sin and pain and bad feelings and sickness and sorrow and all this has been removed. God didn't promise this on this side. If anything, He promised you troubles. But He said, peace I'll give you. And He didn't say you'll feel good. Paul did not feel good when they beat him 5 times with rods and stoned him to death once. And bruised him. He didn't walk around and said, oh, that feels so good, do it again. That would be a demon spirit, a masochist spirit. But he had peace and joy, and he knew he was close to God because the Spirit bore witness with him. See, he could endure these things because he knew and experienced something. And some Christians never go deep with God because they never get out of themselves enough. They're always up and down and back. They spend all their time being chastened, preoccupied with self. See, they can't go nowhere. You never can. See, they're always waiting for something God ain't going to give them. Well, you know why? Because he gives it to them. The next day, they start all over again. But I don't feel like today. Don't you want to just go up and smack them? Now, what does that have to do with it? The just shall live by faith. You live by faith. But it is an inner knowing. See, there is a peace. And there's degrees of peace with God. Those who've known him longer and those who go deeper get more peace. And those who don't. You know? Some grow in the Lord faster, some don't. See, it's between them and God. Much fruit, little fruit. Okay. So he bears witness. Go to 1 John. This is the witness. You want to know where this scripture fits? This is one of the places it fits. The Epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 27, but I'll go up to 24. Therefore, let that which abides in you, which you heard from the beginning. What was it? It was the word of truth. If what you heard from the beginning, from the time you were saved and came to the Lord, the word of truth, the gospel of truth that saved you, if it abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Why? It's the word of truth. And how does he abide in you? By the Spirit of truth. Christ said, I am the truth. Notice the linking here. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. Not just talking about in the future. No, it's the abiding in us. Who abides in the Christian? Christ. What is Christ? Eternal life. So he's saying he abides in you. He's the Spirit of truth. You know, then the Son abides with you and in the Father. What is the eternal life? Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they don't know the true God. Who's that? The Father and Jesus Christ, whom they've sent. So he's talking about the relationship again. Okay. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to lie to you or deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. What is the anointing? The Spirit, when you are born again, come to dwell in you. This is to every believer. This is what Romans is talking about. If Christ dwells in you, if his Spirit dwells in you, then this is the anointed. He is the anointed one. Means what, the anointed one? It meant the Holy Ghost came upon Jesus. And he comes upon us. And he dwells in us, is what he's talking about. The appointed one is the anointed one. Chosen for this office. Well, what is he? He's the other comforter. He's the other intercessor. He's the one who comes to live within us. And reveals Christ and the things of God. Okay. So if this anointing which you have received from him, if it remains in you, that's what abide means. If it continues in you, you do not need anyone to teach you. But the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and it is true. Okay, what does it mean you don't need anyone to teach you? You don't need to run around to people saying you think I'm saved. If you're not saved, get saved. If you're backslidden, get right. They might tell you wrong. I've had people many times say, do you think I'm Christian? I said, I don't know. What did you do today? You know, you're the one. Well, I believe some people are Christians. I believe a lot of people are. But I don't know what they've done in the last 24 hours. I don't know who you murdered. I don't know if you turned your back on the Lord between now and then. That's your business. You know, you don't need to run around and ask people you're saved. When you stand before God, it ain't going to count. You better find out on this side. You better find out if you're right with God, and if not, you better do whatever it takes to get right. And if you have to pray, you pray. And if you have to repent, you repent. And if you have to go to the cross, you go to the cross. If you have to seek God diligently, you do it. You do whatever it takes. You know? Because he'll do his part. Okay, so the anointing, the Spirit himself, what does it mean? He will teach you. The Old Testament said the time will come, and he was thinking of a new covenant, when he says, every man shall not teach his neighbor. But the Lord will teach you. Why? He will be in you. See, the law won't be on the outside, pointing and saying, do this and do this. And this, he'll be in you. So this is what he's talking about. Saying the Spirit will teach you. What did Jesus say the main purpose of the Spirit? See, we forget this. He said, there's many things I want to tell you. But see, he had not been put to death. He had not been resurrected. They didn't have the Spirit dwelling in them. He said, but I can't tell you them now because you're not able. But he said, it is needful that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Spirit of truth will not come. But he said, but when he comes, to who? The true believer in the new covenant. He said, he will teach you all things. This is what he's going to teach you. But he can't teach you anything unless he bears witness that you belong to Christ. Or you'll be back under the law of what? Fear of bondage. Or what have I done wrong? See? That's the minimum he has to teach you. You know? So he bears witness. And people go from faith to faith and grace to grace. And see, you shouldn't question your salvation unless you're backslidden. Unless you're in known rebellion against God. Then you go right back and do your first works over if you have. You repent. See, that's why it says we have a high priest. Then we go to him and say that if I've done anything, well, you don't usually have to ask, you know. You confess it and you deal with it. And if God wants to punish, that's his business. You take your medicine and you go on. You know. But that's why I don't tell people. I don't keep telling people they're saved or not. I say, hey, the Spirit don't bear witness. I can't. I could only confirm what the Spirit's telling them if he wants you to. See, that's something you have to get from God. See, that's something that Jesus says, I'll give you peace that the world can't give you. They say nobody else will give it to you. Nobody's going to lay hands on you and make you spiritual. No one's going to impart anything to you to make you spiritual. You're going to grow in grace. You're going to get it yourself or you're not going to get it when it comes to the spiritual growth. I ain't talking about prophecy or words of encouragement or helps. I'm talking about that spiritual relationship. Nobody can give that. God has no grandchildren. You got to get it direct. You got to walk with. And the Spirit always bears witness. So he says he'll do this. Okay, so he says what? The anointing you receive, that's the Holy Spirit coming to live in you. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You don't need no one to teach you this. But the same anointing, the same Spirit teaches you concerning all things and is what? True. He's the Spirit of truth. And he is not a lie, or it is not a lie. And just as it or he has taught you, abide in him. See, he does not continually bear witness to the rebellious and to the backslidden and the carnal and the double-minded and the worldly. He backs up. See, that's what breaking fellowship is. God breaks fellowship before he breaks relationship. He breaks fellowship to draw our attention when he's displeased. See, that's how he gets our attention. And so when we sin and we rebel as Christians, he backs up. He doesn't walk along and say, oh, I love you unconditionally and I know you're such a filthy person, but oh, I love you so much. That's a lying spirit. He's not that way. See? He bears witness to those who walk in the truth. See, that's why I said if you abide in the truth. He can't bear witness to lies. He can't confirm you and encourage you and comfort you when you're in sin against him. See, those are lying prophecies. When you see these people run around and get all these personal prophecies, and you know they're carnal as a snake and self-centered, you can be sure it wasn't the Holy Spirit, because he don't confirm the old man and the self-seeker. He can't do this. It was most likely it was truly the word of prophecy when they got rebuked and their sins were exposed. That's more likely it was the truth, but they don't want that, do they? See, they want to be lied to. And God says, then I'll let the spirits lie to you. Those who love not the truth, it says God will give them over to a lying spirit, that they'll be deceived and be damned. That's the consequence when people resist God. See? But he'll confirm to those who are in him. And the more we walk in the Lord, the more he confirms this. We grow in grace. Okay, go back. So the Spirit bears witness. How does he bear witness? With the truth. What is the truth? Jesus Christ is the truth. His word is the truth. See, again, the balances, the checks and balances like we have in government. You know, we have the three forms, the judicial, the legislative, and the president or the executive branch. God has the same. The Spirit and the Word always agree. The Holy Spirit will never tell you to do something that his word has already said you will not do. So you can never say the Spirit's going to tell you to lie to someone. Like someone told me one time, or a friend of mine, they said, well, God told me to lie to you about this. I said, it wasn't God, it was a lying spirit. See, God does not talk double talk. He don't talk out of both sides of his mouth. And when people say, well, I got this prophecy and God's going to do this and do that, and when you look at Scripture, say, well, that doesn't measure up to Scripture. Well, I don't care what you say. I believe that was a prophecy. Well, you can believe what you want to believe. But that ain't going to stand before God. His Word's going to stand. The Spirit and the Word agree always. The Holy Spirit is not in conflict with God or Christ, and He's never in conflict. You know why He's not in conflict with the Word of God? He wrote the Word of God. He'd be a liar. If it's the Word of God, the Spirit inspired the prophets to write it. So why would He contradict Himself? See, then the apparent contradictions, if you study Scripture, simply means you haven't rightly handled the Word of God, that you're a dumbbell. You know, when people tell you that, you just tell them, well, you're just ignorant. You know? No, there's certain promises that God has said, I will do. But then He said, I won't do them under certain conditions. And they're sitting there telling God, well, you've got to do this because you said this. And they say, yeah, but you forgot you didn't do your job. That's like your child coming to you and say, you promised me my allowance every week. And you say, well, that is true. But you forgot that little if you do your chores. Now, did you do your chores? Well, no, but you got to keep your word anyway. And that's how they talk to God. And they think they're going to get somewhere with God. They're going to get somewhere. They're going to get where the children of Israel got. He says, I'll give you something. But it worked death in them. It didn't work life. Okay? So the Spirit always agrees with the Word. His ways are always peaceable, the Scripture says, and easy to yield to. The wisdom of God, the will of God, is even your sanctification. So when people tell you that they're following the Lord, but they're living in fornication, they're a liar. The spirit of death works in them. They've been lied to, and they believe the lie. Well, you don't understand, and they'll quote a Scripture out of context. Oh, the devil's good at that. He's a master liar at that, isn't he? Most false denominations and most denominations today are living under Satan's power. Because they not only don't obey God's Word anymore, they don't obey His Spirit. And so there is no lampstand. It's just a human institution that they kept going. Well, maybe God was in it one time. Well, He was in Laodicea. He was in Sardis, and yet He said Sardis was dead. He was getting ready to snuff the lampstand out. See, people are running around claiming Scriptures, and they have not met the conditions, nor have they obeyed God. And he may, you know, Allah loves to promise you. Buy these little books, sell all the promises of God. And I want you to see something interesting next time you go to one of these places and you get one of these, all the promises of God. And you'll find something very interesting. They won't promise you that the soul that sins will die. And that if you rebel against God, He'll cast you in the lake of fire. Well, see, well, that's not positive, but it's a promise of God. See, that's just as much a promise of God as He'll give you life if you come through Jesus. See, they're lying shepherds. They're trying to merchandise you. They want you to pick out a Scripture, what you like and what you don't like. Well, I just don't like that. Well, let me tell you, Scripture ain't like baking a cake and being at a candy store. You either take it all or you throw it all out. You can't choose and pick what you want. It's either all true or it's all a lie. Now decide which one. So if you're going to run and look for good promises, then if you ain't obeying God, you better look for some of the bad ones. Because He said He'd do some things too to those who rebelled against Him. Well, actually, unto the believer, the backslide, He said He'd do them more evil. Go back. It's the law of God. He said, when I purpose to do good to a person and they do evil, He said, a nation or a person, He said, I will repent of the good I intended to do them and I will do them evil. And as I purpose to do you good, I will purpose to do you evil. He said, even after I promised to do you good. He said, in the day that the wicked turns from his wickedness unto righteousness, He says, then I will repent of the judgment that I intended to do him. But He said, the day the righteous turns from his righteousness to sin, He said, I won't look at his goodness, I will judge him in his sin. Interesting. See, these are conditions. God is telling you something about what He's like. He's not going to keep a soul against their will. He's not going to keep a sinning Christian in His grace. He can't do it. He cannot abide in a filthy temple. He has to destroy it eventually if it won't repent and change. That's what He said. Paul said He'll destroy the temple that you defile. What temple? You're the temple of God. That's why He chastens and punishes first before He does this. So that's why we need to not despise His dealing. Because when He deals to correct, it's so He don't have to judge. He would rather chasten as children than destroy as enemies. So he said that's what He'll do first. That's the long-suffering of the Lord. Okay, so the Spirit bears witness through the Spirit of truth. He does it in our Spirit, like Ephesians says, God is able to do exceedingly above what we ask or think. People say, oh, isn't that a wonderful promise? You ever read that? They love that one, don't they? Isn't that wonderful? He is able to do above what you ask or think. He said, according to the power that works in you. And people start thinking of all these things they want. But they forget. It's the person that's in Christ Jesus. It's the person who's seeking the Father's will and not his own. Uh-oh, there goes 99% of your praying now. Might as well not pray much, huh? See, they're not applying the whole of Scripture. They're looking for a grab bag. They're trying to find a way to trick God to give them something. You ain't going to trick God. And if he gives you something he don't want to give you, it'll work to your evil. It will not work to your good. Children of Israel said, we loathe this manner. And God said, but I gave it to you to humble you and see if you would obey me. And he fed them every day with the same thing over and over again. And they said, we hate it. We hate it. We want meat. We want meat. We wish we were back in Egypt where we had fish and garlic and onions. And God says, okay, I'll give it to you. And he says, I won't give it to you for a day or a week, but for a month, until you vomit it out of your nose, is what the translation means. It will come up out of your nose. You know how you eat so much? And he says, and then he said, I will destroy you. I will sin. He killed the fattest of them, the most gluttonous of them. He gave them what they wanted. But it didn't work for their good. See? We're going to get into that scripture when the next week, where all things work together. And for who it works for. Okay. All right, so he says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He says what? He'll tell you that you have the right to say, Lord, Lord. See, that's what he means when the Scripture says, no man can say by the Spirit, Lord, but by the Spirit of God. You know? It means the Spirit has to give witness that you're in the family, that you're in the relationship, that you're abiding in the truth. Go to 1 John, not now, but later. He gives 5, 6, 7 qualifications if you want to find out if you're a Christian. I'll give you a few of them. He says the anointing will tell you. He says you walk in righteousness. You don't practice sin. You believe Jesus is the Son of God. You know, you love the brethren. It means true Christians. You don't hate Christians. You're not after their destruction. You're forgiving. He'll give you 5 or 6 things. He says, you know, you don't walk in darkness. It means you don't practice known sin. He'd give you several conditions if you don't know. He says, his Spirit abides in you. You keep his word. You don't know if you're a Christian? What, because you said, a little prayer back when you were 5 years old, Lord, come in my heart, I'm a Christian. I've had people in the hospital tell me that who were dying of cancer and who died 3 weeks later and went to hell. And she told me she was saved when she was 14 and she had enough religion now because she was a Baptist. And she got baptized in the flames of hell. Because she was a wicked person. See? But she's going to bank on some experience she had that wasn't up to date. You know? Many people like that. Okay. I'm going to stop at verse 16 because I don't want to... It talks about if children, then we'll get into the heirs. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your Spirit bears witness to the truth. Always to the truth. And your word is truth. And you said we are to abide in the truth. And that's to abide in Christ because he said he is the way, the life, the truth, Lord. And that no man comes to you, Father, the true God, but through the true way, Jesus Christ, and the true Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He confirms this. He tells us where we're at. He tells us where we abide. And we thank you for this, Lord, that he's able to do this. We thank you, Lord, for truth. For you said it's the truth that sets us free. You said, and no person who is righteous is of a lie, cannot live a lying life, Lord. So we thank you, Lord. And by faith, we believe we're in the truth as we abide in you, and our conscience does not slay us. For the conscience of the Christian tells the truth. We just see, Lord, there is no separation. We thank you, Lord, that you are true and your word is true. And all your promises are yea and amen to those who are in truth. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.